We are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Mark Houck speaking. Yes, I've been on sabbatical. My colleague Chuck Harvey has done an excellent job this past year doing programming here at Holy Spirit Radio. But I am back. I think I hear a little static there. Is that okay? Yeah. I am back on the airwaves, and this is our 10th year at Holy Spirit Radio. So praise God for that. We've been doing programs here a long time, and we're blessed to do it. I am so excited to be back and share the good news of our apostolic work, what I've been up to, and share with you all the exciting upcoming programs that we have. So this will be like a program update show. I know Chuck has reviewed in the last couple of shows the apostolic exhortation of Bishop Thomas Olmsted in the Diocese of Phoenix, where we currently have a men's group, and we do a retreat out there. So those were great programs. I hope you had a chance to listen to that. And if not, hear the archive programs. You can go to holyspiritradio.org to grab those. But we will begin, like we always do, invoking our patron saint, Augustine. And we'll ask him to be with us and intercede for us. And through his words, we pray, "Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy." Amen. And isn't that such a wonderful prayer of the Doctor of Grace, St. Augustine? I'm in the middle of reading his City of God, and what a brilliant mind he had. And so as he and all the saints are with us, as they pray with us and they're the church triumphant, we invoke their intercession always. And St. Augustine has been a wonderful friend to me and our apostolate. And I encourage you to take up and read all the many writings and homilies that are out there from St. Augustine. It truly transform your mind as it's doing mine. So I'll update you on some of the things I'm doing and why I'm reading all these wonderful books and writings of Augustine, because we have an upcoming event in Chicago. Chuck might have mentioned this in previous programs, called the Masculine Genius Institute. Now, this is invite only, and it's a small summit, we're calling it. We're going to be doing it at Mundelein Seminary's Cardinal Stritch Retreat Center. And so basically, we were forging a vision of manliness. We're doing it May 18th to the 20th. And this is borrowed from the Witherspoon Institute's model at Princeton. The Witherspoon Institute has wonderful programming. And they discuss contemporary issues, social issues, things of importance in life, especially with bioethics. We dealt with the social cost of pornography back in 2009 there, and I got exposed to that program, and I decided, through the help of some other men, to model that program. But we're going to do it in Chicago, and we're going to call it the Masculine Genius Institute. So you can go to masculinegeniusinstitute.com if you'd like to see a little bit more about it. And we're looking for, you know, people who are working possibly in ministry, working at a diocesan level, possibly in men's ministry, academics, professors, philosophers, to really come and be a part of this. Because what we're trying to do is put forward into the church this vision of manliness. And we begin with Greek thought. We begin with Aristotle. And we work our way all the way up to contemporary thought. We're having academics and professors come and give presentations. We will move into Hebraic thought, which is the book of Genesis, and we have Dr. Deborah Savage coming for that, and we will transition to the patristic thoughts. Actually, I'm going to be giving that thought, Augustinian teaching on manliness. I'm not an academic, but I'm doing my best to prepare for that. And then we move into medieval scholarship, Thomas Aquinas. What did he have to say about manhood? Then we'll offer the neuroscience, the physiology of manhood. We'll have that perspective. We'll have the chivalric period covered, the chivalry in the medieval times. What we learned about manhood from chivalry and the code of chivalry. Then we move into the early 20th century popes, on up to John Paul II. What did they have to say about manhood? Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XII, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Paul VI. And then we have the theology of the body, which will stand alone. And what did that teach us about manhood? So we have about 9 different presentations that will be covered over the course of 3 days. And from that, we'll be emerging a publication. We're just going to publish the research. And then we're going to publish a secondary periodical on our recommendations and findings from that summit. So basically, we're putting forward to the church, the Kingsmen are, this vision of manliness that is core habits of manhood, of characteristics of manhood, that are essential in the formation of the man, a young man, an older man, things that we've gotten away from in our culture, in our education, perhaps even in our seminaries to a degree. We are going to have this and give it to Holy Mother Church as a gift. So again, those dates are May 18th to the 20th. And if you'd like to come and you're very interested and you're a good student of these things and you want to be a part of it, it's not so much a conference for enjoyment purposes. It's really an institute, an academic thinking experience where if you're really trying to delve into what does it mean to be a man and what did the church have to say about over the course of the last 3,000 years, that's really what we're all about. So anyhow, that's the Masculine Genius Institute. Again, masculinegeniusinstitute.com if you'd like to check that out. I've been working on that. We also have the Samson Healing Retreat upcoming. And that will be our 9th offering. What was 9 Samson so far? 9th healing retreat for men. We just had a sold-out crowd in our November one. March 17th, that's right, the Feast of St. Patrick. We will be going back to Discovery House in Hamilton, New Jersey. And we will be offering another healing retreat for men. And this is a transformative experience. So for anyone that's listening that is struggling with addictions or any traumas in their life, setbacks, depression, maybe they're a widower, a man who's struggling, a young man who's struggling with life's issues, this is really for them, and it's really designed to give them hope and encouragement and healing in those parts of their lives that they're stuck with, they're stuck on, they just can't get past. They keep coming back to it. It keeps visiting them like a demon, in the middle of the night and just really torturing these men. We're there to offer hope, and through our Eucharistic, offerings on the weekend, we have perpetual adoration and daily mass, and we bring Christ to the men in a really profound way. We have an intense healing that takes place. So if you'd like to learn more about that, we got about 10 openings left. We got about 6 guys registered for the next one. We got about 10 more spots available. If you want to go to SamsonRetreat.com, we'd love to have you. We have financial aid available for those that are seriously interested, but maybe economics are a bit of a hardship for them. We're happy to help. We're happy to offer some encouragement and make that a reality for anyone who's serious about coming. So again, Samson Healing Retreat for Men, March 17th to the 20th. I've been recruiting for that. So please keep that in prayer and ask the Lord to bless and anoint that weekend as He's been doing. And also we got the End of the Wild weekends coming up too. We have a local one here. August 4th to the 7th up in the Pocono region. That's the only local End of the Wild. Usually we have 2 or 3 sometimes local. French Creek we've been to, of course Hickory Run, and then we've been out to Pittsburgh area, but we're only going to be in Pennsylvania one time this year for the End of the Wild retreat. That's the Hickory Run State Park one, August 4th to the 7th. So this retreat, it has brought almost 3,000 men together in the last 5-6 years, And we're hoping to bring even more this year with 7 retreat offerings. So the first one's going to be April 28th to May 1st in Atlanta, Georgia, northeastern Georgia. If you want to come to that one, boy, we'd love to have you. That's going to be at Hard Labor Creek State Park. Doesn't that sound like fun? You're going to Hard Labor Creek State Park. It's beautiful. I was there with my family last year. It's a beautiful park. And we're really trying to get guys there. Boy, it's going to be here before we know it. Only in a couple months. And then we had a private ranch again out in Arizona. So if you want to go out to the west and go into the Wild West in the northeastern part of Arizona, Sholo, we will be at a private ranch like we were last year. Again, we'll be in the Poconos August 4th through the 7th. And then we'll be going down to Virginia September 8th through the 11th. We'll be back at Prince William Forest Park. So that's a good one. That's a good one to come to if you're local and you can't make the Pocono one. We're also going up to the Adirondacks, the Eastern Adirondacks, at the end of September, 29th to October 2nd. And that's a brand new location for us. Matt Ingold will be leading that one. You remember Matt. Matt was our director of healing for a year and a half or so. And Matt is up there, and he's working hard in the Albany Diocese. We're going to have Bishop Ed Scharfenberger with us. He'll be coming out, and he'll be saying the opening mass. And he's a real man's man, so that's kind of cool. So that's a new location for us, along with the Atlanta one. We will be going to Western Michigan again. We'll be back at Kalamazoo, October 13th to 16th. That's at the Scout Reservation where we've been in the past. And again, Bishop Bradley will be there. He's been there the last 2 years. So this will be our third year going back to the Midwest there in Kalamazoo, Western Michigan. And finally, November 10th to the 13th, we'll be at Fort Parker State Park. That is in Mejia, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Texas, in the Diocese of Austin. We will be in that area. It's about an hour and a half south of Dallas and about 2.5 hours north of Houston. So that's a brand new location. We got a lot of momentum in the great state of Texas, and we're trying to bring an offering there. So a lot of things to choose from. You can check out all of this information that I just shared with you at intothewildweekend.com and get more information. We got group packages, father-son deals, early bird specials. You want to check all that out and sign up. It's a wonderful opportunity to come together with your Catholic brothers in Christ. And we also have sometimes non-Catholics with us. Protestant brothers are welcome to come. We certainly have had those that are not even practicing any faith. So we're there to present our faith in a masculine modality, in an authentically Catholic and manly way. But disinvite or uninvite those that are not Catholic. We certainly welcome those to learn more about who we are as Catholics. But we have our weekend, and it is central, our faith, to the weekend, but we certainly welcome those to come and participate. So again, intothewildweekend.com for more information. And finally, because this program I want to talk about, the Wing Bowl. That's right, the Wing Bowl happened last weekend, the 24th year. Kingsmen were there, we're part of it. I'm going to talk about that this program, but before I get into that, I want to talk about the exciting new Judith Retreat. And Chuck's might have mentioned this in the past with Heather. We are launching our inaugural healing retreat for women. That's right. We're doing why are we doing a healing retreat for women? What? Isn't this a men's ministry? Yes, we are a men's ministry. But for the last 10 years, we've been doing this men's ministry. Women have been approaching our apostolate and saying, do you have anything for women? I love what you guys are doing. Is there anything you can do for women? And we always said, you know, this has to come from the women. It's, you know, we're a men's ministry. We need to stay true to our mission, and we really can't, you know, deviate from that, and it's just kind of a distraction. Well, more and more women. Boy, there's nothing out there for women. Now, of course, there's the Great Women of Grace. Wonderful program. God bless the Women of Grace. But we were talking about something on the lines of an experiential retreat that the Kingsmen are doing, and something along the lines of those things, I think, the women were talking about versus a foundational study series like Women of Grace. Something more experiential. It's the Kingsmen really thrive in doing. So the more I took it to prayer, and the more I thought about it in light of what we do with Samson, I finally decided to read the book of Judith in the Old Testament. It took me a number of years, but I read it. And when I read it, I was really touched by the story. It's not a true story, But I was touched by the story and the narrative that is put forward to demonstrate how God is pleased to use women in his plan of salvation. Of course, Mary is central to the salvation story. She has first place as it comes to women, for women. But in Judith, we have the prototype of Mary. We see how God used Moses to deliver the Israelites. He uses Judith to deliver the Israelites in this story. Now, what does that say? Is that God can use anyone he wants. And so in Judith, I saw very much like a Samson character for women. I saw great strength in Judith. I saw great wisdom, great courage, great beauty. And I thought, wow, this would be a great name for a retreat. And the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, the more I started to receive signal graces from God. And I heard confirmation after confirmation that this might be a good thing. Well, as we continued to brainstorm and put together a task force team to discuss these things, more confirmations were coming in. And what we decided is that we're going to have the charism of the King's Men to use to develop this retreat. But we need this retreat to be led by women. And women need to be led by women. So I put together a phenomenal team. I have three great women, three dynamic women, and actually a sister of life helping us with this inaugural retreat, which will be taking place October 20th to the 23rd at the gorgeous Fatima House in Ottsville, PA, bucolic Bucks County. If you've never been to Fatima House, it's a country retreat gem that is in our diocese, and you really should check it out. It's like a bed and breakfast. It's amazing. Jim and Joan Black do a fantastic job. We've been doing programs there for the last couple of years, and I am so excited to bring finally a retreat program there, and it's a perfect setting for the women. So we'll be doing, again, October 20th to the 23rd at Fatima House. Right now we have six women registered. Two coming from Texas, three coming from New York, and another from PA. So we got room for about six to eight more women. So I expect this retreat to sell out. I have new brochures that are being printed. And I'll just read from you from our three leaders, and as I alluded to, a dynamic leader team. We have three women that are exceptional in their individual fields, and they're just great friends of mine, and I think they're going to do great things for women. So first is Sue Brinkman, who's in our area. Sue works with John Ed Benkovic at Women of Grace. She's an award-winning journalist, author, blogger for Women of Grace, and she does all sorts of programming for Women of Grace. But she's right here in our backyard, and she does programs all the time at Fatima House. And Sue is just a tremendous woman of God who has great gifts to offer the church and has been offering the church, certainly an expert on the New Age, and has offered that in many ways to the church to help those in the New Age understand how demonic it is. Anyhow, and her own story to go with that to really support what her message is there and what she offers to the church. Anyhow, this is what Sue has to say about this upcoming Judith retreat. She says, the women of today are incredibly injured by the culture of death, yet they are God's instrument in the saving of the world. Think about that. The women are wounded by this culture, yet God is still choosing them to be his instrument, like he did Mary, like he did through Judith, like he did through Ruth, like he did through, you know, Sarah, you know, like he did through all the women of the Old Testament that are prototypical women for Mary, you know, Esther, you know, wonderful women to think about, to ponder. She says that the Judith retreat will be very uplifting. God choosing women in the saving of the world. We need to uplift these women because they are essential to the salvation of souls in this world. Mothers breathing life with husbands, fathers, you know, co-creating with God. Mothers being God's vessel to bring new life into the world. Not breathing life, as I said incorrectly, but mothers being open to life and God breathing life through the woman. Really unbelievable to think about that. Unfathomable to think about that. So God is clearly pleased to use women. We need to have an offering for women to help them heal. Dr. Monica Bro, who's been on Women of Grace, who's been a good support to the Kingsmen. She's the Catholic Social Worker of the Year in 2010, therapist out in Tempe, Arizona. She has this to say about the retreat, and she's going to be one of the leaders, along with Sue. Our peace and our joy are dependent upon our response to our pain. At the Judith Retreat, women can embrace new perspectives of their suffering and prayerfully practice loving responses to their personal crosses. So Monica's going to be there, and she's going to be offering a couple talks. Sue will give a talk on the way of the sorrowful mother. Monica will be giving a talk on the radical integrity of one woman, Judith, and certainly Mary as well, and talking about our sexual brokenness, which is really her specialty. And then finally, Lydia Britton, wife of a dear friend of the Kingsmen, Tim Britton. She's a dynamic liturgist from Kissimmee, Florida, right outside of Orlando there. And she's an amazing lady, bilingual. She says Judith is a victorious woman whose actions reflect an unconditional love for the salvation of the people of God. I believe people of today can greatly benefit from hearing and learning her story. I believe the Holy Spirit is truly going to work miracles at this retreat. So Lydia is excited about this retreat. She's going to be coming with her husband, Tim. And she will be giving a talk on the woman at the well, and talking about the great strength in women as they prostrate themselves before the Lord, before the cross. Lydia has great insight and wisdom into that. They have four children, her and Tim, and one is actually a seminarian right now. He's about a year and a half away from ordination. So anytime a mother and father are raising up a priest, something's going right in that home. At least that's what I think. Okay, Monica is a mother of five. She's also a grandmother of 10. And Sue, as I said, Sue will be on the leader team as well. So the Judith Retreat is happening, and we're inviting women to consider that, especially in our listening audience here today. Go to judithretreat.com. That's judithretreat.com, and learn more. There's a whole wealth of knowledge there and information on the sorrowful seven sorrows of Mary, the sorrowful mother, and of course on Judith. And then we have our schedule on there. We have our chaplain. We have our leader team. Father Mike Mannion will be our chaplain. Again, the Sisters of Life are coming. They're going to be a part of it. So it's really going to be exceptional. And it's Thursday, the 20th of October, to Sunday, the 23rd. So it mirrors kind of the Samson program a little bit. A lot less activity because women don't need as much activity. Men, we got to keep moving. But it's very intentional, and I've taken great effort to listen to women and their input to make sure that this is just right for women. And we feel at the Kingsmen that our charism is to lead, protect, and provide as men. And as we're doing that, primordial in that fulfilling that call is the protection of women. And so we'll talk about the wing ball today after we come back from our break. But when we think of Judith and we think of what the Kingsmen do, it's a hand-to-glove fit, right? So if we're going to carry out our duties to protect women and children, the common good, we must also be an agent and an instrument in healing of those women. And guess what? Many men today are wounding women. And the reason why women are suffering today is mostly at the hands of men. So we need to be an agent in that healing. And that's why I believe this Judith Retreat is a gift from God. And it's an answer to prayer for a lot of women. And I hope you, our listening audience today, if you're a woman or you know someone who's interested, send them to judithretreat.com and let them learn a little bit more about a local retreat here that might be a source of grace in their life. So we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the wing bowl. Talk about wounding women. Oh, my goodness. The wing bowl happened last Friday, the 24th year of it. The Kingsmen were there. We're going to get into what happened. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
St. David Church is collecting non-perishable food, blankets, and toiletries, diapers and baby formula to benefit the needy, served by St. Francis Inn in Kensington. Donations can be brought to Father Curran Hall at the church, 316 North Easton Road, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., February 12th through February 22nd. The collection for St. Francis Inn will conclude with a Mass to be celebrated by Franciscan Father Michael Duffy at 7:30 p.m. on Monday, February 22nd. Thank you for your support.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 24 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA, They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com. You are listening to a Holy Spirit Radio programming update. Another chapter in Mexico's cherished faith history is about to be added as Pope Francis returns to North America to embrace the hearts of its people with a message of Christ's everlasting mercy. Here among one of the most vibrant cultures in the world, the Holy Father will walk with both the faithful and the skeptical of all ages as he speaks to spiritual and political leaders, meets with the youth, and celebrates Holy Mass with the joy only a Jubilee year can bring. Rejoice in the week-long papal journey to Mexico from February 12th through the 17th. Tune into Holy Spirit Radio and listen to EWTN's live broadcasts each day from Mexico. And you have been listening to a Holy Spirit Radio programming update.
Welcome back to the Kingsmen radio program here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown, 1420 in Coatesville. I am Mark Halk, your host, back here in Doylestown, live here on the first Friday of Lent. How's your Lent going? Boy, I didn't even mention Lent. Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, Lent has started. We are in this season of sacrifice. And, boy, I tell you, it's my favorite time of the year. I love Lent. I am totally a Lenten junkie. And not because I'm, like to eat meat on, or not eat meat on Friday. I try not to eat meat all year on Friday. But, I enjoy the season. I enjoy the preparation. I need it because I know I'm so, prideful and sinful. And, you know, I like being reminded that I'm made for more, right? I'm made for more than just serving myself. And so Lent is, to me, is a great purging of my sinfulness, my selfishness. And I just love being in the constant reminder of that. And I try to be in that reminder all year, but, you know, like anybody else, I tend to forget my duties and responsibilities and my Lord. And I love Lent. So hopefully you had a chance to go to at the Ash Wednesday Mass and receive your ashes. If not, don't fret. It's not a holy day of obligation, but it's a wonderful thing to do and a great reminder of what we're entering into as we burn the palms from last year and mark our foreheads with the sign of our salvation. We are reminded of who we are and where we're going and what we're made for. And we will return to God, and some of us sooner than others. And Lent is a great time to start thinking of those four last things, you know, death, judgment, you know, purgatory, heaven, hell. You know, those things that we need to think about. What is our destination? What is that going to be? We're all made for God. As Augustine said, are made for God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we are made to be with him. He wants us to be with him. He desires that none shall perish, none of his children. But he gives us that free will to make choices in this life, to choose to love, and God is love. So if we're loving, we're choosing God. And if we're not loving, we're choosing to reject God, right? It's as simple as that. And so God made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him, right? As the old Baltimore Catechism says. So we must do that in this life. Many people in this life are not even anywhere close to that sentiment. As we talk about the wing ball, what happened here in our local area last Friday, we must consider how lost the souls are in our area with this event taking place. The Kingsman has recognized for years that the wing ball was not a good thing. It wasn't until 3 years ago that we decided to do something about it. But for many years, we've been encouraged to do something about it. And Eventually, we finally got on board with being a part of the answer, not part of the problem, right? As they say, you know, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So by not saying anything, our silence was perpetuating the problem, okay? And we've been able to shine a great light on the wing bowl and all the negativity of it. And I have some good news to report that there is a rumor that next year, the 25th anniversary of wing bowl might be the last year. Now, I don't know if that's for altruistic reasons or you know, something of enlightenment has come to those who are the organizers. It doesn't matter. The point of the matter is it looks like it's coming to an end. And we couldn't be more thankful that the Kingsmen and our community could not be more blessed, because this is debauchery. Okay, and as Augustine says in the City of God, if you've ever read the City of God, there's two cities on earth, and they're intermingled, right? They coexist with one another. It's the earthly city and the heavenly city. If you've ever read the City of God, you see that how Augustine begins that book talking about why the Roman Empire is falling. And he talks about how debauchery and serving self and how the pride of man and just the lewdness and the sinfulness and the unchastity was part of that demise. And that's in the earthly city. Again, this Epicurean philosophy of, you know, serving the greatest good, which is pleasure, the hedonism, right? That's the greatest good. And this is what was happening in Rome. And Augustine was talking about that and how God could allow that to happen. And why God allows that to happen. He uses calamity and things like that to bring about a greater good. And so he allows it is the key word, not that he wills it. God doesn't will any to perish, as we said earlier. But in our city of brotherly love, we have a very similar, a microcosm in that one day, February 5th, last Friday, a microcosm of why Rome fell. Rome was not set up this way in the beginning. There were men of character who set up Rome, who had good intentions, and the city thrived for years, hundreds upon hundreds of years, until this debauchery started to infect the whole citizenship, and this is how the demise came about. So what does that mean for us here in the local area of Philadelphia? What does that mean for our local church? What does that mean for the greater church, universal church? What does that mean for our country? Well, this is indicative of what's going on all around the country. You know, the sexually oriented businesses, there are more sexually oriented businesses than there are McDonald's in our country. And you know how many McDonald's there are. So this is happening every day. If you think of abortion, you think of the disregard for humanity and life and the dignity of the human person. We can go on and on and on. But when we talk about debauchery and lewdness and disrespect, the dignity of the human person and the objectification of women, the exploitation of them, sex trafficking, all those things that kind of go into what we kind of see in a microcosm at this wing bowl, you see evil, the face of evil. Now, are the people evil? No. No, no one is made evil, right? We're made in the image and likeness of God. But we have concupiscence. We have original sin. And through baptism, that the effects of original sin are washed away. But that's not a pass for the rest of our life, right? We can sin and fall into mortal sin, and our souls can be in jeopardy. So we have the great gift of reconciliation, the sacrament of the church, offered in the church, and this penance, this penitential gift that we can keep coming back to the Lord. I was at the Wing Bowl last Friday with eight brothers in Christ, and I went in to the parking lot to minister to those that were in the parking lot tailgating, getting drunk and acting foul and vile, and anyhow, I approached these men, which thousands upon thousands of men and hundreds of women, and I remember as I was talking to them, and I'd often ask, you know, are you married, you know, and I would, and they'd say yes. I said, well, why don't you just go home? Why don't you just go home and be with your wife and love your wife today and not be unfaithful to her in there, because custody of the eyes, friends, is so important, right? And Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in Matthew 5, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Well, I don't encourage anyone to research Wing Ball as far as pictures and so forth, but I have looked at these pictures for my own research and my own knowledge so I can speak intelligently about what goes on there. And it's hardcore porn. That's what it is. It's hardcore porn. And I don't know how any man could be exposed to that and not be tempted in some impure way in his mind. They say, to the pure, all things are pure. Yes. But if you go into a cesspit, I don't know how a man can maintain his purity in that situation. I really don't. And so when a man says he's married, and I say, why don't you go home? Why don't you go home and be with your family, your loved ones, your kids? What does this say about you? What if that was your daughter in there? That's somebody's mother in there that you're going to be seeing and objectifying and watching the exploitation of them. See, a lot of guys will say, well, they freely chose to do that. These women are free to make. Yes, they are free to make their choices, and we need to pray for them that they can make better choices. But we don't have to contribute to the encouragement of those choices by supporting things like the Wing Bowl. Do you see my point? Do you see how our choices in what we purchase in the food store, our choices in what we purchase as far as patronizing R-rated movies? What are we telling Hollywood when we have movies that are scandalous? Like, think of what that movie, Gray. I forget the name of it, but 50 Shades of Grey. That's right, 50 Shades of Grey. Think of what the message was that we were saying to Hollywood with the millions of dollars, potentially billions of dollars that came in through that across the world, right? We're saying we want more of this, right? So our choices, our free will, our free choices to say, I support this, Wing Bowl, whatever, we are part of the problem. We are perpetuating the cycle. We are keeping women in bondage. The message that we're saying to women is, this is, yes, this is what we want. Yes, this is what will give you attention. Yes, this is will bring you financial prosperity in your life. Yes, yes, yes. Men are sending this message, whether they know it or not. Well, how can it be, Mark? I just bought one ticket. How does that make a difference? One ticket, one person, thousands of men, all saying the same thing. See, this is how dangerous it is. And so I was in line, I was saying these things, and one man said to me, he must have thought I was Protestant or something, because I had Pastor Bill with me, and he said, I'm Pastor Bill, and I'm here to share the love of Jesus Christ with you. And the one man yells to me and Pastor Bill, and he says, don't worry, I'm Catholic. I can just go to confession. And I looked at him, and I said, really, brother? I said, I'm Catholic, and you're abusing the sacrament. See, that's an abuse of the sacrament. You can't go and participate in lewdness and debauchery and just say to yourself, well, I'll just go, and then I'll go to confession. See, that's playing God. Now, if the person is truly contrite and repentant and truly sorrowful for what they did, like if he said to me, yeah, I agree with you, and I probably shouldn't be here today, and I plan to go to confession after this, that'd be a different. No, he's saying, hey, I'm Catholic. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I'm going to go to confession after this. That's not a sincere repentance. And I can judge that because that's what he's telling me. I can simply say that, look, you're abusing the sacrament. And for those that are not truly contrite and they're not sincere and they have no intention of amending their life, there is no confession and absolution there. They're not free, all right? Now, I can't judge that person's heart when they're in the confessional, and maybe there's true remorse there and imperfect contrition, as we say. They fear the loss of hell in their life, and certainly that's possible. But on the surface, I can simply say that if that's your attitude, well, I can just go to a strip club on Friday and then go to confession on Saturday and go to Mass and receive our Lord on Sunday and just keep up that cycle, come on, man. Come on. You're not serious. You're not truly sorry, because a truly sorrowful person tries to avoid the near occasions of sin. If you're in line at the Wing Bowl, I got news for you. You're not trying to avoid the near occasions of sin. You are putting yourself in that near occasion of sin. And so many men were doing that. And I would approach the women. Yeah, there were hundreds of women there. And you could tell that some of these women were just going along with the boys, just going along with the crowd. And you look at them, and I said, hon, do you... is this your first time here? And they say, yes. I said, do you really know what's going on in there? Are you really prepared for that? Do you want to see that? ladies, it's not a good place. It's not a good place for you to be. And the men were all like surrounding these women, and none of them were saying anything because they knew it was true. In their heart of hearts, they know that it's not a good place for anyone to be, but let alone a woman. And as you see the exploitation of these women by a local radio station, which we all should be boycotting here in Philadelphia, who has been sponsoring this debauchery for the last 24 years, we should be boycotting that. We shouldn't be patronizing that. We should be sending letters and emails to their producers saying, you know, no more. This is not going to happen, and I refuse to listen to your smut on the airwaves in the morning. Kind of like the Howard Stern, you know, kind of thing going on. We have to choose to not contribute. Again, by our silence, we are guilty, right? If we think in our heart, well, yeah, that's wrong. I agree with you, Mark. That's not a good thing. Yeah, we shouldn't be supporting that. You're right. You're right. But your silence is going to convict you, friend. Your silence is going to convict you on your judgment. So how many things are happening in our life here locally? The Wing Bowl is just one example. And I'm going to tell you more when we come back from the second break, but I'll tell you more of the goodness that happened and the good news upcoming and all the fruit that was born from the day. But just think about all the local things that are happening here. Just, you don't have to go out to Calcutta. Mother Teresa would say, Blessed Teresa of Calcutta would say to all the pilgrims that would come to Calcutta, and they say, Mother, we want to come to Calcutta. We want to help you. We want to help you with your mission. She said, don't come to Calcutta. Calcutta is in your neighborhood. Calcutta is in your hometown. You don't need to come here to see the face of God. You just face the people in your community. Like, you can find Jesus there. You don't need to come here. So the point is, we want to do something great with our lives. We want to do something that truly transforms the world. Well, it may not be like Mother Teresa. It may just be in that conversation you have with that lonely person on the bus that you're traveling with, or on the train, or just that homeless person you see on the streets of Philadelphia, or just in the sadness of your own family members, you know, those that are, you know, lonely after a loved one's passed, or, you know, just suffering with addiction and stuff. You don't need to go to Calcutta. You don't need to go to the Wing Bowl, although I encourage you to go to help us pray against it and demonstrate against it. But you don't need to be a part of those things necessarily. But you need to be a voice for the truth. And so if you're silent over these things, you're not sharing the truth in the midst of great pain and great danger. You know, a kid's going to run across the highway. Does your silence, well, he's got his free will. Let him choose. He gets hit by a car. No, you run out there and you save that child, right? So we must, you know, for those that are playing on the freeway, we must give that warning for those that are doing those things. Because if we don't, the Lord will say, you knew this. And as Father Larry was talking about this in a previous program, Matthew 25, you know, for what you've done to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. So we must think about these things in light of eternity. And we'll say, okay, what are the greatest evils in my community today? You don't need to go to Calcutta, but what's happening in Doylestown? What's happening in Quakertown? What's happening in Horsham? What's happening in Levittown? What's going on in my, what's happening in Philadelphia? How can I be light in the darkness? When we come back, we're going to talk about how the men that protested that day with me, how we were light in that darkness, and how we tried to light candles that day, because we did light candles, and we fulfilled our mission, and good things did come of it. So we'll get back into that as soon as we come back from the second break. So stay tuned if you'll learn more about the Kingsmen at the Wing Bowl 24 and the good news coming up as to what's going to happen in 2017. Stay tuned.
Father Donald Calloway, a world-renowned Marian priest and author, will speak about mercy as a bridge that connects us to God on Monday, March 7th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Our Lady's Missionaries of the Eucharist. Through his personal and dramatic conversion story and the extraordinary grace of the Jubilee Year of Divine Mercy, Father will help us see how everything in Jesus lifts us up into his arms of mercy. Mass will be celebrated at 7 p.m. Find out more by calling 610-582-3333.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Welcome back, Kingsman Radio Program here live, first Friday of Lent. Have you made a commitment this Lent for something, of a sacrificial nature, something to give glory to God, something to draw you closer to Christ on His cross? What is that going to be for you? You know what it is for me? I tell you, man, my cell phone is my downfall. I need to detach from my cell phone. And I have made a commitment this Lent to detach from my cell phone. Now, I need to use it a lot for work. But there's something that draws me to that little thing more than I need to be drawn to it. And, you know, sometimes it happens when I'm driving. Not good. Just had a friend of my wife's just drive into oncoming traffic because he was texting. Friends, I'm guilty of doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be around for my kids. My cell phone is causing me to sin, and I need to detach from that. So you know what I'm doing? I made a commitment that I will not use my cell phone while I'm driving at all. And I know that sounds like, well, everybody should be doing that, Mark. Well, you know what? I don't see a lot of people doing it because I'll be driving, and when I'm not using my phone, so I see everybody with their heads down looking at their cell phone. So, and you're like, well, Mark, I only do that when I'm at a red light. Well, don't. Don't do that. I'm not going to do that. But anyhow, and then I'm shutting it down. I'm shutting it down. After a certain time at night, the phone is off. Even if I want to check a score, even if I want to, you know, someone texts me. No, it can wait till tomorrow. If someone's texting me at 9:30 at night or 10 o'clock, I don't need to look at it. Now, my phone's ringing, that's fine. I can answer my phone. But, you know, if you want to get a hold of me, right? But man, this is causing me to be less than holy, and I want to fix that. I want to change that. I want to suffer with Christ, because it's suffering to me. Because I, you know, we want to stay connected, don't we? We want to stay connected to people. That's why we're so attached to these things, because we want a connection, right? Well, you know what? I want to disconnect. Do you want to disconnect this Lent? Do you want to focus only on Christ and focus on what's important, your family, your loved ones? What's more important? Your kid who says, Dad, I want to show you something. And you're in the middle of looking at your phone. Hold on, son, I'll be right with you. Put that phone down. Go be with your family. As Pope Francis would say, fathers have the courage to waste time with your children. I tell you, I have that plaster right above my desk at my home office. Fathers have the courage to waste time with your children. I work from home. I'm blessed to do it. And sometimes I can come in and out of work. My kids want to say something to me. Don't bother Daddy. He's working. No. Son, what is it you want? Daughter, what is it you need? Right? Give them your time. The gift of your time. You're not going to care at the end of your life how many people you connected with or how much money you made. You're not going to care at the end of your life how much time you spent at the office or how much time you spent away from your family. What you're going to care about is the time you didn't spend with them. I'm telling you, friends, that this cell phone is the devil's tool in this century. I really believe it. Now, it's a tool. It can be used for great good. It's not intrinsically evil, but the devil uses all things as God can use all things. So, how are those tools in your life affecting you? For me, I'm taking a deeper look at it this Lent, and I'm trying to really detach. I think that's the thing that's keeping me most from God. I really do. So, anyhow, I just offer that as food for thought. As you ponder what you're going to do, maybe you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I'll just give up candy. Isn't that easy to do every year? Just say, I'll just give up candy, or I'll give up cookies, right? Okay, I get it, and that's good. I like cookies, too. But maybe the Lord wants you to go a little deeper with your sacrifice. Maybe he wants you to take a deeper look at your life and the things that he really wants change in your life with, and this opportunity of Lent to sacrifice and to really make change. This is like you don't like give up things for Lent just so you can go back to them after Lent and be like, oh God, so thankful Lent's over so I can eat all the things I want to eat now. You know, I mean, I get it. There's I used to give up bread, and that's a penitential thing. That's difficult. Coffee, and that's difficult. Caffeine, that's difficult. And then you're sure you enjoy it, but hopefully the point is you're learning to detach more and more, right? Detachment is a great sign of holiness. And so we must use these wonderful opportunities in the liturgical calendar to, yes, participate in the liturgical season to the degree that we can, but use it for opportunities to grow and become closer to Christ, to become more like Christ. I think that's what the true intention behind Lent is to not only prepare ourselves for Easter, but to further unite ourselves to Christ, right? I think that's at the heart of it. Not just so we can be miserable on Fridays because we can't eat meat, that's not why the church creates or institutes these things. It's these precepts of the church are not here to make us miserable, you see, or make us feel bad about ourselves if we forget, right? If you forget, you forget. Okay, pick it up. You don't have to go to confession if you forget. Sometimes you forget, right? It happens to me all the time. So, but if your desire is, you know what? I know I'm not supposed to eat meat on Fridays, but you know what? I'm going to have this steak anyway. So, okay. All right. We get off our soapbox there. Let's go back to the wing bowl. So there's eight of us there. Miserable conditions last Friday. I don't know if you were out last Friday, but it snowed. I was up at 2:30 in the morning. Pat myself on the back, right? I was up at 2:30 in the morning and drove down to the city because Wing Bowl starts at 4. Our guys are tailgating there at 4 o'clock and the doors open at 6. So we had to be there and it was snowing and it was cold and it was a wet snow. So it was, as soon as I stepped out of the car when I got down to South Philly, my feet were soaking wet. They just were, because there was puddles and my feet were just disgustingly wet the whole time I was there. And so it was really uncomfortable. And I think we all were dealing with that. We're all offering it up, and it was very redemptive. We were offering it up for all the souls in the Wing Bowl, and that were going to the Wing Bowl. They were traveling down here. The fathers that were leaving their homes, the men that were ditching work, the students that were ditching school, the husbands that were being unfaithful to their wives, as I alluded to. We were offering it up. The women that were exploiting themselves. The after parties are all pornographic. This is what's advertised on these stations, is this after party. There's more business brought into the sexually oriented businesses post the Wing Bowl than any other time during the year. So it's a big money maker for these places. And so you saw all this. You see all this when you're down there. So there's a lot to offer up. And so we minister to with our signs. We have great signs. So-and-so exploits women. What does this say about you? What are you teaching your son by being here? Men uphold the dignity of women. We had really encouraging signs. Wing Bowl is pornographic. Wing Bowl is lewd. Wing Bowl is shameful. All these things. So we had our signs and we had our weapons. So at 6 o'clock, when the doors open, we started praying our rosary. We took out our weapons and we prayed all four mysteries of the rosary. And as it was bitter cold and we're just circling and going in circles, trying to keep warm, keep our legs, from getting rigor mortis or whatever, we just try to keep the blood flowing. We were praying and we were interceding. And you know what? There's something powerful when you're doing stuff like that. In the midst of great evil and great darkness, there's great light that's shining. And as the sun was rising and we're out there and we're praying, I want to tell you that, boy, I came alive as a man. I know other men came alive. And it's a wonderful thing to band together in a common mission. And so we were doing that. And we continued to pray, and we went through all the mysteries, and we continued to pray, and we had conversations with men and women, and we talked to them, and some were open, and some were not, and some were closed, and some were, receptive, and we just continued to invite, take courage, be a man, you deserve better, you are made for more, always positive, always uplifting, always encouraging, and that's what we were doing, we were planting seeds, we're lighting candles. And we do this all the time. We do this at 40 Days for Life. We do this at Wing Bowl. We do this anytime we are praying for other people. And friends, I'm telling you that this is life-giving. This is what we are called to do. You say, oh, I don't have a good prayer life. Okay, well, it doesn't, you just don't count the many rosaries you say a day, or the fact that you got to Mass, and so I have a good prayer life. No, what is your prayer life in action? What is your faith in action? If you're praying on your knees every day, but you're not doing anything with it, now there's great gift in doing those things. Don't misunderstand me. But you must take those prayers and you must put them in action if you have the ability, right? For those that are homebound and those that are handicapped, okay, it's not applying to them. But we can't just bless the darkness and then ignore it. We have to go and be light and make disciples of men, right? I mean, this is the Great Commission. We are called to go to these places, to go and be witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we did on Friday last, and it was a wonderful thing. We sacrificed, we're away from our families. We could be doing other things. We could be working, you know, at our jobs, but some guys take off to be a part of it, to help. And what a great gift that is to not only our apostolate, but to the church and the local church and local efforts here towards preserving and protecting the common good. And so the Kingsmen are fulfilling their mission. And as I told you earlier, the good news is that the Wing Bowl is coming to an end. Rumor has it that next year, the 25th year, will be the end. Now, again, for altruistic reasons, I don't know. But the rumor has it is that next year will be the last year. And we couldn't be more happy at the Kingsmen, because this is positive for women. This is positive for men. This is good for our local church. And we're thrilled and excited to report that this is a victory. Now, again, is it attributed to our prayers? Who's to say? But I don't really need to know that. God knows that. God knows what, and it's not for us to measure, but we're called to be faithful. Amen. That's what Mother Teresa said. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. We're called to be faithful, not successful. And sometimes in this life, we do see success. We do see the fruit of our labor. And what a gift that is. That encourages us. That spawns us on to better and greater things. To whom much is given, much will be expected. And so as we have these opportunities of great crisis in our culture, these are opportunities to become a great saint. These are opportunities to grow, to stretch ourselves, to become more like Christ. And as we enter the season of Lent, this is what we must be pondering. And what is keeping us from that? Is there an addiction in our life? Is there a vice? Is there a pain? Again, that's why we have this healing retreat for men. Is my son lost? You know, bring him to a father-son retreat into the wild. If you're a woman and you're struggling in your life and you want to be a good wife and you want to find your vocation in life and you need some healing, come to the Judith retreat. This is why we do this. This is why we have small men's groups. We got 28 dioceses we're working around the country, 50 men's groups. Come to a men's group. Don't be alone. That's why the Kingsmen exist. We're trying to create opportunities for men to grow and to support one another and to live out our vocation to be true leaders, protectors, and providers. And that's what we've been doing. And again, 10 years this year at Holy Spirit Radio, we've been doing this apostolate for 10 years. Boy, what a wonderful gift and celebration that this is, to be able to share with you on this airways that the Wing Bowl is going to be ending. And you know what? We give all praise and glory to God for that. That the people, whoever organized it, are seeing the error of their ways, right or wrong, it's coming to an end. And we give thanks to God. So we say amen and God bless till the next time we're on the airwaves. We start a little bit earlier. I guess we're ending a little bit earlier. So we are out of here. We will be back in 2 weeks. And I will have as my guest Headmaster Mike Patterson from Regina Academy in Ottsville and Headmaster Chris Keefe from Regina Chaley in Abington. Stay tuned for the next show. You won't want to miss it. God bless.